word tonight. Father, for Jesus' sake, we pray that your word may be of blessing to us. We carry on and focus in on the peace that the Prince of Peace has won for us, that you have sent him so that we might walk on peaceful paths, even in tumultuous times. May your Spirit so work in us unto your praise. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to pick up continuing our series here on the impact that Christ's coming has for us in peaceful terms. We're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. I'm playing a little bit of catch up with this series because there's going to be five sermons on this series. Tonight I'm preaching in a continuation on that series, which normally I don't do. I try to keep morning and evening, and I will be, Lord willing, going back to confessional preaching at night next week, and so I am going to finish up the Belgian Confession, but I wanted to take up this passage tonight, and then we'll do our peace series, continue it on the mornings up until Christmas Day. One other thing just to make mention of is that my sermon title is a little bit short. That's my fault because I really could have done a better job of structuring this. And so the sermon title is really going to be about praising God for the path of peace. And I'll be also condensing my points, looking at the secure path and the illumined path as we look at this passage from Luke chapter 1. So just to keep that in mind, if you happen to take notes, that's kind of how things are going to go tonight. So we take our passage from Luke chapter 1, Zechariah's song, or Zechariah's prophecy, as it's titled in the ESV. We read from verse 67 of Luke chapter 1, reading to verse 79. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, guide our feet into the way of peace." We do want to thank the Lord for his word tonight. Glad that we could, and pray it may be a blessing to us this day. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've had a little bit of just a light dusting of snow in the area. We're actually rather finding it remarkable how the season is carrying on so far with the lack of snow. But one of these days, typically, as winter comes on, snow comes on too, and it's always a remarkable thing, isn't it? It seems like the way in which we review the snow can be so different depending on how old we are. And the boys and girls could be a little disappointed that there's not much snow and which to frolic and play, and they would welcome it if they could see it coming. And yet, when you get older and a bit more frail, snow is not viewed with much welcoming. It's more of a seen as a risk, a threat, you know, of slippage, slipping on an icy way. And we recognize that too when we're out on the roads as well, when we drive. We can find how different things can be when we're out on the icy roads as opposed to a dry path, and it can make a difference even whether we're traveling in town or traveling out on the highway. What was once a routine trip becomes something that's a little bit more tense. Zechariah's praise of God, which begins this prophecy or begins this song of sorts, ends with a joy in the paths of peace that God brings. His praise of God speaks about the path of peace in which God guides us. It's a peace that's proclaimed by John the Baptist, that's won by the God who visits his people with gospel light. God is worthy of such praise because that path of peace in which he guides us when we come to know Christ is a secure path. And it is an illumined path. And if you're looking for that middle point that kind of escapes things now, that's the better path. The secure path. The illumined path. And we'd like to take a moment to reflect on those points tonight as we consider this passage in our series on the peace that Christ's coming brings to people. So we consider, first of all, the praise of God for the secure path of peace in which he guides us. As we said earlier, praise doesn't come without reason. And Zechariah knows it, and he's calling people to the praise of God as he says, as the passage unfurls, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited and redeemed his people." Part of what makes the path of peace a peaceful one is similar to us when we think about walking on a clear sidewalk or a clear road rather than an icy one. Because God removes the obstacles. He removes the dangers. And he brings that measure of security that we need. Paths of peace, of course, in the days of Zechariah were longed for. And it wasn't so much because of snow, but because of other dangers. In those days, it would have been bandits along the paths. If the road could not be secured, then troubles arose. But if the road could be secured, if the danger could be removed, and the road protected, the path on which one traveled could be traveled without fear. What makes the path of peace secure in the case of Zechariah has to do with both the removal of the evil and the presence of the good. In a spiritual sense, Zechariah is joyful to the Lord, and he's calling people to that. Because in God's coming through Jesus Christ, two things would be most evident. It'd be salvation from the enemy and salvation provided by the merciful Lord of the covenant, the friend of sinners. And some think that what Zechariah was talking about was strictly a political enemy. As if there was reason for praise because God was coming to defeat a strictly political opponent. Now, there's no doubt that in the past, God's enemies had oftentimes been political entities. Egypt, Assyria, Philistia, Babylon. Now, would it not be Rome? But even when it was the political nations of the earth, those nations were representative or symbolize a greater spiritual problem and threat and power and enemy that God's people had to face. You know, it's like the apostle would say, we don't fight flesh and blood. Not merely. It's the spirit of the age. It's the problem and power of evil generally, of sin, of Satan, death, and a person's bondage to these things. And those problems and power sap peace from people's hearts. And particularly of those who are enslaved to them, because they stand, these forces, they stand in opposition to the order and the peace that God intends and God provides and God promises. And there's no security on that path. It's like the path of the bandit. The enemy of evil and sin and hopelessness oppress as people move on. Because it's paths that just lead down paths of chaos and destruction and waywardness and death. There's no security living apart from the peace that Christ's coming brings. Living wondering what life is all about certainly brings no security. Some people just don't even want to think about it. You know, people will live their lives out and never at times, just because if they get too much reflection into their lives and start asking themselves, what's the meaning of life? They don't have an answer. And so better off just pressing on and not worrying about that too much, because if we do, then what's life about at all? But even so, you're still living like you don't really know. In fact, you don't know what life's about, and there's nothing secure about that. If no one can say without certainty about what should be the priorities in life, where's the security in that? No more than walking down an icy road, no more than walking down roads and traveling down roads where bandits are all to be found. But that insecurity is the way that the enemies of the Lord would have us all live. The way of chaos, the way of the devil, the way of unbelief, the way of our own flesh. Let's live in uncertainty. And let's believe that uncertainty prevails. Let's live under the oppression of an insecure life where chaos abounds, not peace. Let's live not only that way, but let's live in the grip of that chaos. Let's be enslaved with it. And in that inescapable sense of no salvation, no way of salvation except by the way of God. The true center of this passage that we've read finds itself in the covenant mercies of God. When you get to the core of it, it's found in that portion when it speaks about how God has shown mercy to our fathers, remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's the only reason why there can be paths of peace for people. Comes down to the fact that in a world that offers no true lasting peace, likes to offer it to people, but you're left wanting and unsatisfied, God comes and says, I have it. I have it. God does not forget to be merciful. God does not forget to be faithful to his promises to provide salvation from the path of chaos, from the enemies that would otherwise haunt us all, sin and death and Satan and unbelief, darkness and our sinful selves, all of which would just leave us in turmoil. That's where the devil would love to leave us. The security for the road of peace then and the road to peace is because God has been true to his word. This is the reason for praise. This is the reason for peace. He's provided what he swore that he would provide already to Abraham, the father of faith. And that's part of the reason then why there is praise to be given to the God of promise, to the God of the covenant. Again, I would pray that modern Christianity wouldn't lose sight of the fact that we are dealing here with a covenant God. because he's the God of promise. It just makes the security and the praise of God that much more rich and meaningful and deep. Because he's true to his word. And he's saved as he's promised. He saves from the chaos that would otherwise torment us and destroy us. God's word, as you look at a passage like this, is telling us, God's word is your security today, or it can be, and praise him for it. The very same God whose word was kept when he visited this world to redeem his people through Jesus Christ is the very same God whose word you can trust today. It hasn't changed. The security remains. If he says he'll save you from your sins, you ought to believe it. Because his word is trustworthy. If he says he won't leave you alone, he won't. If he says that you can serve him now in holiness and righteousness in his presence without fear all your days in light of his salvation, you can. Tumultuous and troubling times notwithstanding. The certainty of God's word in Christ is what brings order and peace to your life. If you're going to look for it in your culture, forget it. If you're going to look for it when you're turning on the television or you crank up your iPad or you look on your phone, good luck. No, we don't believe in that anyway. But you're not going to find it. It's the certainty of God's word in Christ that's going to bring order and peace to your life. Salvation from your enemies. The peace that passes all understanding. And it is a word that assures you that you and I have every reason to serve him fearlessly all our days. In praise. In practice, as he guides you in the paths of peace. Because that's what this passage is saying to us, isn't it? It's calling us to praise. It's calling us to serve us. And it's calling us because here is this God whose word will guide you in the paths of peace. There's reason for praise. There's reason to serve courageously. And such is definitely a better path. But unless it's illumined, we're not going to find it. And speaking about the illumined path as a better path, what we really mean is that it is the superior path. And when it comes to the path of peace that one needs, it's the only path there is. John the Baptist's proclamation of that coming peace was most appropriate. He would be proclaiming, says Zechariah, as a prophet, what the prophets of long ago were also proclaiming. Rescue, deliverance, promise, salvation, forgiveness in the only God who could supply it. Only the difference, and this is important for us in our day, the difference between the prophets of long ago and the prophecy of John the Baptist is that John's prophecy would be on the cusp of the Lord's coming. And as he preached repentance and faith and peace in the God of salvation, he was doing that as someone who was proclaiming the imminent arrival of the Lord. The day of that peace, forgiveness and coming and rescue and deliverance was just around the corner. And the message becomes an urgent one in that John could say, in essence, the night was almost over and the day was almost here. Because the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness. Yes, indeed. The day was almost here, and so John in his urgency was going to be saying, find forgiveness in the God who is coming to provide it. Turn to him to find your peace. Be prepared in that way for his coming, especially since that new day is almost here. The days, you see, then, in which we live, you know, it's easy to go out. If you were going to come, you know, probably if you were going to survey, you know, your neighborhood, or you were going to survey your state or survey your country, and you were going to ask people, you know, what kind of times are these in which we live? People will say they're pretty troublesome. They're pretty unstable. They're pretty intimidating. They're pretty fearful. But if you look at a passage like this one, where Zechariah is calling you to peace and calling you to praise and calling you to serve without fear, well, what you're gaining from what Zechariah is saying here is that the days in which we live, remarkably, are a part of that time of peace. Because the new day has dawned. And a new creation, if you will, in the coming of the Lord through Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, has arrived. And so what Zechariah is saying to us, tumultuousness, tumult, unpredictability, notwithstanding, he's saying, now is the day of peace. Now, it's the day for forgiveness. It's the day of reconciliation because the king, whose kingdom in the spirit of the promise of David, a horn of salvation, the strength of salvation, that king never fails. And he never dies again. And he's come to bring peace to people on whom his favor rests. Glory be to God. Today. Is there turmoil around today? Of course. But greater still, it's a day when peace and forgiveness can be found. And peace and forgiveness can legitimately be proclaimed. And when God continues, this is the day to lead people to peace through His Son, through the proclamation of the gospel today. Now, people, of course, are trying to find their peace in all kinds of things. You know, some people try to find it in being tough or rebellious. And they try to find their peace in belonging to this association or that association or this gang or this group of friends. Or they're trying to find it in their laziness or they're trying to find it in their ambition. They're trying to find it in their stomachs. And they're trying to find it in abstaining from food. They're trying to find it in what they're going to get for Christmas or what they're going to take from somebody else. They're trying to find it in those who will pay attention to them as they're waving as it was through life and say, look at me. Or in trying to get people to just leave them alone. They try to find their peace in hoping nothing will change their lives. Or in hoping that they can change everything. And they try to find it in perversity or making what is evil look good and good to look evil. But when we're doing those things, then we're sitting in darkness and death. And we're not new creations, and we're not enlightened, and we're not walking in the paths of peace, and we're not living, or we might think we are, but we're not living. We're dead in our sin, and we'll not be alive nor enlightened as new creatures of a new day without the light of Jesus Christ shining on us, transforming us, reconciling us to God, redeeming us from the chaos of sin, assuring us in tumultuous times that He is guiding us in the paths of peace. We won't find peace for our lives at all unless the light of Jesus Christ has come to save us and is shining in our lives. But when we can say that we found it, what a blessing. And we can say that we found it when Jesus has first found us. In our own darkness, we seek our peace apart from Christ. But in the light of Christ's coming, we find our peace with God and the peace that we need to serve without fear. Not ourselves, not self-serving, not self-absorbing, but serving our God courageously. And that's a peace that believes that all is ours, and we're Christ's, and Christ is God's. Perhaps there are things troubling you today that seek to suck the peace out of your life, or to convince you, as you look around the world, look around your situation, and it seeks to convince you that there is no peace to be found at all. Zechariah, by grace, knew better. And he wanted other people to know it too. May we also know better by that very same grace that Zechariah came to know. Jesus Christ came to guide us in this day in the path of peace, shining brightly so we might see the right way, salvation and peace. Shining brightly so that we might be secured in the mercies of God's promises, that we're redeemed, that we're rescued, that we're saved, that we're protected, so we might live life not in fear, but in the peace that we can serve our great God, not just someday, not just when things settle down, but now, in holiness, righteousness, all our days. Yeah, there's a world of darkness around. But in that world of darkness, there's this kind of security. There's this kind of peace. There's this kind of light. There's such a way of peace to walk. And God provides it in His Son. And that's why long ago Zechariah praised God. That's why long ago Zechariah called people to praise God. And that's why we're called to praise Him, when we've known that He's provided that kind of path of peace for us. That's why we're to praise God for such a peace. A peace that moves us to praise, piece that tells us, don't despair, don't be afraid. Serve your God in holiness, in righteousness, all your days. Praise God that in tumultuous times you can walk down that path of peace. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Father, we again pray that for Jesus' sake, that from our fears and sins you would release us, and that you would allow us, Father, by your mercies, to find our rest in you. Tumultuous day, darkness oftentimes, to discourage us, to say that there's no peace to be found, but there is. Zechariah knew it. He came to know it by the grace that you promised, the Word of God, a secure path down which we can walk, forgiveness, rescue, redemption, direction, service. What blessing we can know these things. May we all know them unto your praise, and so that while the world would seek to cause us to cower, what we will do is we'll serve our God without fear, in righteousness and holiness all our days. As we walk down the paths of peace that Jesus Christ has won for us. May you accept our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.